We begin the current daf Masechet Sukkah, daf Lamehe. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and begins discussing the Mishnah for the previous daf. That is, we mentioned all the Dal Minim, the last Mishnah began the fourth Min, that of the Estrig. Now, that the Gemara will discuss, how do we know that the Estrig, at least how it's written in the Torah, how that references directly to the Estrig as we know it today. So the Gemara says, Tarban Lin LaBraisa. It says in the Torah, pre-Eitz Hadar, the fruit of the beautiful tree. Now, there's four different interpretations brought in the Braisa how we know to translate those words that's a reference to the asterisk. The first one is obviously it's an eitz, it's a tree, shetam eitzu upir yishava, that the taste of the bark of the tree has the similar taste as the fruit itself, because the term that's written is pre-eitz, as if there's something together with them that they share in common, that's hadr, which is that the taste of the tree is like the fruit, that they have the same taste. Habalim is the asterisk. That will tell you that it's a reference to the asterisk, where that is the fruit that has the same taste as its fruit as the tree itself. Now the Gemara asks, Be'ema Pilpolin, maybe say it's a reference to pepper, which is a spice known as peppercorns. K'etan le'glin le'braisa, Hayirmeyo said, Mimash b'shenema, we understand when the Pasuk says the Meyikra, when it talks about the halachas of Arla, it says, Unetatim kol'etz, that you should, when you're going to plant all the trees, where at the end it says that one should not eat it. Now, any yedeish who eats machal, don't I know when we're talking about not consuming the erla of the trees, that we're obviously talking about that a tree that provides fruit? Matamalema eats machal. So why, when it describes this tree, does it describe a tree that gives food, that fruit grows out of it? Obviously, it's saying not to eat it. It's obviously an eats machal. So on that, Remeir said that the pasuk is coming to teach you, it's an eats shertam eats yapir yushav. It's coming to teach you that the eats is the machal. We're coming to include in the halachas of erla even something that the taste of the tree is the same as the taste of the fruit. That will tell you, what are we referring to? To pepper. So that comes to teach you two things. One, first of all, this Eitz Meichel that we're including, Pilpalin is coming to tell you, A, that it's Chayiv in the Halachas of Arla, that you shouldn't say, which one can think that it's actually not a pre, but rather a Yerek, a vegetable, because it grows in a very low tree, which is not that high from the ground. Hence, I would say maybe it's not an Eitz, so the Halachas of Arla wouldn't apply to it, and that we say that it is. And also, V'ein Eretz Yisrael Chaser Klum, it also is teaching us that Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Even something as pepper, Shanam, like it says, Apasik in Devarim, Leisechse Kolba, that there's nothing lacking. And that's what Eitz Meichel comes to teach her, that even Pilpalna is included in what Eretz Yisrael is not lacking. Now, but one thing we see is that Remeir considers what has the same taste, the Eitz and the Pri, that's Pilpalna. So maybe when we say that the Pri Eitz Hadr is the Eitz that has the same taste as the Pri, maybe it's a reference to Pilpalna should be used as the fourth of the Dal Minim, and not as we know as the Asterisk. So now the Gemara answers, Hasam, regarding over there in the Pasuk Pi'etz Hadar, Mishum Delei Afshar. You can't say that's a reference to peppercorns and not to an ester, because it's not possible for it to be Pilpalim. Because Heichen Avid, how do you want to go about it that this should be the fourth of the Dal Minim? Ninkit Chada, are you saying that we should take one kernel of peppercorns and use that as the esterik, as the pre-Eitz Hadar? But it's not recognizable because it's so small, it won't be a lekicha, because a lekicha has to be something that you see that you're taking. It's not recognizable since it's so small. Now, if you're going to say ninka tre etlasa, that you should take two or three of them, and that will be recognizable, and that should be your pre-Eitz Hadar, but on that, and the Girsa adds on the word pre-echadam rachmana, the Torah tells you to take one fruit. It says pre in the singular, v'leishnayim v'shleisha peis, but not two or three. And hukachli afshar, therefore it's not possible. So you're right, there are two options, is the esterik and is the pilpalm. It cannot be the pilpalm because it will only be one, and that one has to be a recognizable lekicha, which is not possible by pepper. Nothing more continues with a continuation of the braisa, with Rebbe Yoim, he says a second interpretation in Pri'etz Hadar, how we know it's the esterik. Because he says, al tiki hadr, don't read it hadr, which means beautiful, ela hadir. Rather, it's the fruit that the tree is hadir, which is like a corral. What type of tree is it that's compared to a deer shaltzain? What does that mean? So madir is that just like this corral which has all the animals in this pen. Yesh begedoyl mugatanim, there are large animals, small animals, tamimim balimumim, there's unblemished ones and blemished ones. Hachinami, here also by this tree, yesh begedoyl mugatanim, there are large produce and there's small fruit. Tamimim balimumim, there's also those which are unblemished and those that are blemished. Now, the Gemara asks, what do you mean, atu shar peris les pugudel mugatam tamim balimumim? What do you mean, you think other fruit trees don't have larger ones and smaller ones and blemished ones and unblemished ones? Why are we saying that that would mean a reference to the esterig and not to all the fruits of all the other trees where all the fruits are not exactly the same? So elahachim, or rather, what Rebbe meant to say was, achaboin katan means until when the new ones, the small ones, are coming in, adayin gedam kayamim, the large ones are still there. I mean, when we say large and small, Rashi explains, we're not talking about that of 1 year. Rather, when we say gedolim, we mean it's the fruits from the previous year. And katanim are the new fruits of this year, because the estrig is unique, where it grows and it remains on the tree for 2-3 years. And therefore, when the new fruits from this year are coming in and budding, that you still have the old ones from the previous years are still there. That's a reference to the estrig, because that's the one tree that's unique in that. Similar to this interpretation of Rabbi, Rabbi Avohu Amar, he says, the third pshat, he says, Al tikri hadar, don't read beautiful, ela hadar, something that dwells, which is davar shadar bilonim mishan l'shan, something that dwells in its tree from year to year, which essentially is the same idea like Rabbi, it's just different interpretations. Rabbi was saying a term of deer, of a corral, and he's saying a term of deer, which is of dwelling, but again, same idea that's unique to the estrig, that remains from year to year. Fourth interpretation of the Braisa ben Nazir, he says, Al tikri hadar, don't read a beautiful ela idur, which is shekim b'loshen yavani karin lamayim idur, because in Greek, which we find similarities in the terminology of the Torah, that we see that it's called, water is called idur. Now, ve'ezohi shegadol kol mayim, when the Torah is referring to a fruit that is grows by idur, by water, what type of fruit is something that grows with much water? Haba'im is an estrig, that's a reference to the estrig, which grows with a lot of water, and therefore these are the four interpretations, how we know from Priyat Hadar, that's a reference to the estrig as we use today. Now the Mishnah continued and said, Shal asher v'shil anidachas pasal. The estrig that is from a tree that was served as a Avodah Zarah, or that's from a city that the majority of inhabitants, they do the Avodah Zarah, and they were incited by their own city inhabitants, such an estrig is going to be possible. You must my time. What's the reason? So as we said previously regarding the lulav and the others, since these objects are supposed to be burnt, the ashera and the objects from the iron nidachas, so we view the measurement as if it's already ground down, as if it's pulverized, because since it's going to be burnt down to ashes, which has no measurement, and therefore since the estrig has to have a minimum measurement, as we had a machlokes in our Mishnah, so therefore this, since it's oimed lisarv, we view it as if it's burned, and therefore it has no measurement, and that's why it's pasul. Mishnah continued, it says, shel orlo pasul. The estrog of orlo, which is the fruit from a tree in its first 3 years, which is oster to have enough from, such an estrog is going to be pasul to use it. You're not going to eat it, but still it's pasul to use it as the estrog for the dalmin. So you must ask, my time, what's the reason? Why isn't it valid to be used as one dalmin? It's a beautiful estrog. So that the Gemara says, plegi bar rebchi bar avim rabasi. Chadama, one says lefisha imbo heter achil. One says because you're not permitted to consume the fruits of the first 3 years out of Arla. And the Torah says regarding the dalminim, it has to be lochem. You should take it lekachtem lochem, which means it has to be fit for you, which means say in all ways of enjoying it, which obviously one of them is eating it. And since you can't have that by that, so that's not considered lochem. Bechadam, and the other one says lefisha imbo din mamon, because there's no monetary value that you have in this, because it's not even worth a puta, because arla is what's called isuri hanoi, you don't have any pleasure from it, and therefore it's not considered yours, you don't have any monetary value, so that therefore that's not valid to be used as the estrig for the dalad mina. Now, the Gemara says, kasal kadaite, the Gemara assumed originally that regarding this machlokes, that they were mutually exclusive, that man debai heterachila, according to the pin that says that it needs to be something that's permitted to eat. But that would mean that if it was permitted to eat, for example, Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which that's where you're allowed to eat it, then Loi Boy Din Mamon. That opinion did not hold like the other one, that you have to have a monetary value that you have in it. And therefore, even if it wouldn't be considered your money, like according to a mayor who says in Masechet Kedushin, that Meiser Sheni is considered Mamon Gevaya, it's really Hashem's money, it's just that you're allowed to go ahead and eat it there. And it's not like your own private money that you could use those objects of Meiser Sheni to engage a woman. So that would be still kosher to fulfill your chiv, because although there's no, you don't have monetary value for it, but since you could eat it, that's already considered lechem. Uman debay din mamen, and the Gemara thought that the other mandama also, the one that holds that it has to have monetary value, that you have some ownership in it, leboy hatachil, it does not hold like the other one, and you don't have to be able to eat it. And therefore, that opinion would hold that an estrog of tevel, that's untithed produce, is permitted to use as the estrog, because although it's asr b'achila to eat it, because it's tevel, but it's muta b'hano, you're allowed to use it because someone else could go out and take off the meiser and the truma. And therefore, that's what would come out the nafkimina, the Gemara had assumed, between this machlekes. But on that, the Gemara asks, now we learned in our Mishnah, shall truma temei apostle, that if someone has an esrog of truma, which is, again, that 1/50 approximately that someone gives to the kohen, and that esrog became tamei, so that's possible to be used as the esrog for the dalmina. Now, now, based on the assumption that we had that each opinion was mutually exclusive, that the one that says that the reason why you can't go ahead and use it is because by arla it's because there's no heter achil, you can't eat it. So shapa, we could understand why the truma tamei would also be possible because you can't eat truma that became tamei. But according to the one who says that the reason why by arla you can't use it as an estrig, it's not considered lechem, is because you don't have a monetary value in it. But you don't need to have a permission to eat it. It's just because it's enough if it's considered your money that it's going to be considered lechem. But then the question is, am I? Why would the Mishnah then tell us that truma temeya is possible? Hari masika tachas tavshila. You're allowed to go ahead and take a truma that's tamei, although you can't eat it, but you can use it as fuel to burn underneath something that you're trying to cook. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chafeim Beis, says titin loy. You should give him the kohen the truma, which the Gemara there darshins of Leila Uri, not for his fire, which means it has to be truma tahira, not tamei. But one thing the Gemara there infers is that, however, one is allowed to burn the truma as fuel. For example, in the case of that it became tamei, it's just that initially you're not allowed to give that to the kohen. So if you're allowed to burn it underneath, so why would you not be able to use such an asterisk for the halachs of dal minim if it's something that you do have a din mam and you can have, you have pleasure, it has value, you just cannot eat it, and all you need is mamin and not to be able to eat it. So there the Gemara says, Ella, rather, not as we had assumed, but behetra achila kule amalei pligi debein. Regarding the permission that you need to have to be able to eat it, nobody argues that you need to be able to eat it. Now, that would mean, even if, let's say, you have din mamon, you have monetary asset in this object, it wouldn't be kosher if you wouldn't be able to eat it. And the reason is because it's not fit for all ways of pleasure, because you can't eat it, so you're lacking at least one direct avenue of hana, so that wouldn't be considered lechem. Everyone would agree, you have to at least be able to eat it. Ki pligi b'din mamon. Their whole machlekes was, does you have to have an additional criteria for it to be considered lechem? Then not only do you have to be able to eat it, but you also have to be considered as if it's your money. And there, that was the machlekes. Marsa v'het achila b'inan. One opinion held that you just need to be able to eat it. Din mamon loy b'inan, but you don't need to have that as if you have monetary value in it. And therefore, if it's permitted to eat it, for example, Maiser Sheni, which again, that's the tenth of the, after one takes of Maiser Rishon that gives to the Levi, the second tithe is, in certain years, is what he brings up to Yerushalayim and he eats it over there. So according to, since you're allowed to eat it, so according to a mayor, it's going to be kosher. Because that, when our Mishnah says that Maiser Sheni Yerushalayim is kosher, it would be even like a mayor. Because although he says that Maiser Sheni is mamon gevoy, it's not your own money, but that's okay because you don't need to have a din mamon in it. Whereas Umar Saber din mamon nami beinon, but the other opinion held that no, it's not enough to just be able to eat it. You also have to have that it's considered your money. You have to have some monetary value in it. And therefore we come out that according to a mayor, the esrog of Maiser Sheni would be possible. And what we would have to say is that our mission that says it's kosher must be like the Rabbanan, who they say that Maiser Sheni actually is considered mamon hed, it's considered your own private money, and you can use it to be mekadesha an isha. And therefore, our Mishnah would be going like them, again, not like your mayor, because according to your mayor, according to the opinion that holds that you also need din mamon, Maiser Sheni, even Yerushalayim, is not considered that it's your mamon. Now, the Gemara asks, my Benai, what's the difference between them? So it's exactly like we just said. The difference between these two opinions, if it's enough just with that you're allowed to eat it, or you additionally need that it's that you have a din mamon, is Ike Benai, Maiser Sheni, Yerushalayim, Alib Dre Meir. When you have Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, according to your mayor's opinion, and that is Lamanda Malafishem Bahetra Achila, according to the one that says the reason why Arla is problematic is because there's no Hetra Achila, Hariyesh Bahetra Achila. So regarding Maiser Sheni Yerushalayim, you do have permission to eat it, and hence one can go ahead and fulfill his chiyuv with the Maiser Sheni of a Nesri. Lamanda Malafishem Badin Mamun, but according to the one that says that it doesn't have in the Din Mamun, Arla is not, you have, it's Isra Hano, you don't have any monetary value in it. So Maiser Sheni Mamun Gevayuhu. So if you're considering, if you have monetary value in it, regarding Maiser Sheni, it may hold that's considered mamon gevay. It's Hashem's money, not your own money. Although he lets you eat it, and therefore that wouldn't be considered lechem. And therefore, according to a mayor, one would not be able to fulfill his chiyuv of the esrog with Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Again, according to the pin that holds that you need to have din mamon besides the heter achila. Now the Gemara says we mentioned that this is a machlekes. So the Gemara says testayim derab asi de amma lefish in bad din mamon. So we can prove that although this was a machlekes Reb Chibra of Rabasi, that Rabasi was the one that said that besides that you need to have a heter achila, you also need to have a din mamon. And what would that come out? It would be that he obviously would be of that opinion that according to a mayor, ma'aser sheni would be pasul because you don't have a din mamon. It's din giva. It's mamon givaya. We could illustrate this. The Amr Basi, because Rabasi said esrog shel ma'aser sheni, an esrog of ma'aser sheni ledivre mayor ain adam yetsa b'yidei chavasa b'yamtiv, which just clearly proves that Rabasi is the one that holds that according to a mayor, you would not be able to fulfill your chiv, obviously because he holds mamon givaya, although you're allowed to eat it, but it's not considered your own mamon. Whereas ledivre chamim, according to chamim, because they hold that it's mamon hedyit, and hence it's like your own money, and therefore you even have din mamon. So at this time, obviously that proves that Rabbi Asi was the one that held that not only do you need a heter achila, you also need to have din mamon, which you do not have with ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim according to a mayor, and that's where a mayor would hold that you cannot fulfill your chiyuv with the esrog either with ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara says gufa. The Gemara wants to quote that entire statement that we had quoted that we could prove that Rabbi Asi is that opinion in its entirety. Amar Basi, Rabbi Asi said. He said, there's three different areas of halacha that manifest this machlekes that we just quoted between Reb Meir and Rabbanan, which we spoke about, Ma'aser Sheni. So he says that, Esrog shel Amar Reb Asi, Esrog shel Ma'aser Sheni. L'divrei Meir, Kondrei Meir, again, that we explained that he holds that the Ma'aser Sheni is not considered your own money. It's Hashem's money, but he lets you consume it. So according to him, Ein Adam Yitzah Ba'yidei Chavasa B'yamtim. So someone cannot fulfill his chiv of taking the Esrog on the Yom Tov Sukkos with such an esrog of ma'aser sheni because it's not lachem. L'divrei chachamim, adam yetsa b'yidei chavasa b'yom tov. However, according to chacham, that they hold that it's considered mamon hedyit, you could fulfill your chiyuv. Again, this is Rabasi l'shatasli, who holds the criteria is you need to also have din mamon. Another application of this is matzah shel ma'aser sheni. When you have matzah that was from ma'aser sheni produce, so l'divrei meir, according to a meir, ein adam yotzei b'yidei chavasa b'pesach. A person cannot fulfill his chiyuv of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach with such matzah, which the Gemara later will ask, where do we find that your matzah has to be that you have? It's your matzah, that it's your own money. It doesn't say anywhere matzaschem that it should be your matzah. Why wouldn't he be able to use ma'aser sheni, even if it's Hashem's money, it's his matzah and not your matzah. But be that as it may, Remeya holds that one cannot fulfill his chiyuv. L'divrei chachamim, but according to Chamam, again, who holds that Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hedyit, it is your matzah, hence you can fulfill your chiyuv on that Seder night. A third application is Isa Shel Ma'aser Sheni. When you have dough of Ma'aser Sheni, so again, Divrei Meir, Patur Min HaChala, it's exempt from the chiyuv of Chala, which is a certain hafrasha amount that's taken off, that's given to the Kohen, because it says in the Pasuk, Arisa Yiseichem, your dough. Now this dough of Ma'aser Sheni, according to a Meir, is dough of Gavaya, Hashem's dough. Now, even though you're allowed to eat it, but since, again, it doesn't have a din of mammon that you have, so it's not considered yours, hence it's going to be patur from the chiyuv of chala, because it's not arisay seichem. Divrei chachamim, chayev es b'chala, according to chachamim, again, that it's mammon hedyit, it would be chayev in the halachas of chala, of separating from this dough of ma'aser sheni to give to the kohen the halach of chala. Now, maskar of Papa asked, as we alluded to this question before, he says, Bishlami Isa, he says, very well, in regards to the dough of that there's a chiv of taking off challah, even though it's ma'aser sheni. Because it says in the Pasuk Bamidbar, Reishis Arisa Yiseichem, says it has to be the first of your dough. Hence, we can understand the contrary mayor that one will not take off challah from the dough of ma'aser sheni because it's not yours, it's Hashem's. Esrog nami ksev lachem. Esrog, we also understand because it says lakachtam lachem, which goes on all the dal minim. Mishal lachem means it has to be yours. And again, the esrog of ma'aser sheni, according to Reb Meir, since it's Hashem, it's mamon gevaya, it's not yours. You cannot fulfill your chiyuv of esrog on Sukkos. Ela matzah, but regarding eating matzah on the Seder night, miksev matzaschem, does it say that has to be your matzah? Why can't it be Hashem's matzah? You're still eating matzah. Hashem lets you eat ma'aser sheni. So Amar Rav Bar Shmuel, v'itim, and some say it was Rav Yemir Bar Shlemya. Asya lechem lechem. In one place it says bread, another place it says bread. Ksiv hach, it says over here in the Pasuk in the Varm regarding matzah, it says lechem oini, the bread of the poor man. Ksiv hasam, it says over there in Ptinyat Tamid Beis, a Pasuk in Bamidbar, which is in context of the halachas of Hafrashas Chala, says v'hoyeba cholchem milechem arts, that when you'll be eating from the bread of the land, so it says in both places lechem. So malahalan mishalachem v'loishem mishal maisis. So just like we know, as we explained in Amid Aleph, the regarding halachas of challah, where it says arisay seichem, that has to be your dough and not ma'aser sheni's dough. Again, because according to a mayor, that would be Hashem's, not yours. So avkam mishalachem mishal maisa. So the same thing, a mayor would learn. It says lechem by matzah, where it says it also has to be something that's yours and not ma'aser sheni, because again, that would be mamon gevaya. And just like we learned over there, it has to be yours. Here also has to be yours. And that's why you cannot fulfill your chiyuv on the Seder night with the matzah of ma'aser sheni according to a mayor. Now the Gemara wants to say le misayele. Let's quote a brisa that will support what Rav Asi just said, because the brisa says isa shel meiser sheni regarding the dough of meiser sheni peturim min achala de Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that's going to be exempt from halachas of chala. V'chachamim chayev es chala, chamim say no, it would be chayev chala again based on their machlekes regarding if we consider this as mamon gavoya or we consider it as mamon hedid. The Gemara asks, "Lemi misayele? Should we say that this brisa supports Rav Asi? Hehe, this is exactly what Rav Asi says. What do you mean? For sure, it's going to support him. Why are we saying lame as if we're saying we're questioning if this should be? So there, the Gemara says, Ella rather that it's definitely supporting what he said regarding challah, that this would be regarding Meister Sheni, that dough, if it's going to be chayiv or not, depending on the machlekes or Meir and the Rabbanan, that for sure it's saying like him. However, should we say what we were asking was midabahal pligi, just like we see that this is exactly what they're arguing, as the Brisa says, regarding halachas of chala of meister sheni do, bahanami pligi, will that tell us that they're also arguing and support the other two applications Rav Asi spoke about? Which is that since we see that by chala this is their machlekes, should we say by esrog and matzah this will also be their machlekes? Because essentially it's the same reason. Because just like over there, it's going to say, it says lechem and matzah, we learn the chala from the halachas of Afrashas chala. It says lechem, and therefore we compare the two. So just like over there, we see in the brisa, so we should apply to these two applications. And that's what we're asking. Or maybe it's not true. Maybe dough, regarding halachas of Afrashas chala, there it's different. There maybe we may well say that it's exempt because there's an additional miut. Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says in Midbar, Arisa Seichem Trezinni. It says it should be your dough twice. And therefore, we would say that now, since it's permitted to be eaten, although there's no din of mamon, it would be considered lochem. And therefore, that would be the difference between the two. You're right. By the halachas of challah, where it says in the brisa that Remei would hold it's exempt, that's because it says arisa seichem two times, which says that it's not enough that you could eat it, since it's not yours, you don't have a monetary rights over it. Therefore, that's where it's going to be exempted, because it says twice it should be yours. But the other two places where it only says one allusion to it, either lechem or because when it's learned out from lechem that it says regarding to halachas of matzah, there maybe we would say that it's enough because it's permitted to eat, that it would be considered lechem. That's why we ask, it's not clear for sure if we make an application and say that just like the brisa says they argue regarding halachas of challah, that you would argue similarly regarding halachas of matzah and esrog. Now the Mishnah continued and said, shel truma tamei b'sula. Now, regarding using the estrig of truma that became tameh, such an estrig is possible, is invalid. Now, as the Gemara explains, the less behetra achila, because one is not permitted to consume, to eat, an estrig or any truma that became tameh, and that we explain in Amman Aleph, both opinions agreed that the minimum is that you have to have a hetra achila, machlekes was you also have to have a din mamon, and since you cannot eat such an estrig, it's not getzid alachem, and hence it's not malakach lachem, you can't fulfill your chiv with such an estrig. Now the Mishnah continued and said, however, v'shal truma tahira, regarding using truma, an estrig that was separated or given to the kohen, which is still tahar, lo yitl. Initially, one should not use such an estrig for the dal minim. Now, the Gemara says, pligi barab ami rabasi. There's a machlekes regarding why one shouldn't use it. Chad amar, emnei shemachshira. One said is because you will be making the estrig susceptible to receive tuma. And that is, as the Mishnah tells us later on, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that the wife would take from her son and her husband, she would take the dal minim and put it back in water on Shabbos, so that the entire bundle could be in water, so that it shouldn't dry out. Now, they would try to keep it moist throughout the Yom Tov Sukkos. Now, when the water touches the estrig, it becomes now susceptible to tuma, as the Pasuk says of Yikra Yud Aleph, v'chiyutin mayim azera. When water comes onto one of the food items, it becomes susceptible to tumah, and there's a halacha that's forbidden to cause truma to become tameh, as the pasuk says in Mamidbar Yudches, says mishmeris trumasai, that one should safeguard the truma, that one has to make sure that it's not going to become tameh, and therefore initially, like atchila, we don't want you to use truma, even though it's tahar and you're allowed to eat it and you have the mamon, it doesn't make a difference because now, since you're going to be using it on Sukkot and you're going to try to keep it moist and it's going to come in contact with water, that's going to make it susceptible to tumah, and that's going to downgrade our safeguarding of the truma that this esrog is, and therefore we don't want you to use initially such an esrog. The other opinion held, the reason why you shouldn't use truma, even though it's tar, is because the outer peel of the esrog is going to become ruined because of all the holding. When you're shuckling the esrog, you're holding it throughout Sukkot. Now, it's forbidden to ruin truma, as is based on the similar that pasuk mishmeres truma, so one's not allowed to ruin it. And therefore, that's why you shouldn't be using the esrog of truma, even though it's tar and everything is valid. But since by holding it, you're going to be ruining the outer layer, that's going to be, on some level, ruining truma. And that's why we don't allow you to use, initially, such an esrog on Sukkot. Now, the Gemara says, my benai, what would be the halachic differences between these two opinions? And that the Gemara says, kagun shakara la shame, where if you designated, which a person could choose when he's taking off all his esrogim and he's giving to the kohen, he could give, let's say, 1/50th of all the esrogim, he gets to choose which one, so he's designating what parts of what is giving his truma. He gives the designation of the name of truma on this esrog, chutz mikiplas chitzayin. He says, besides the outer peel, that is not making that as truma. Now, what that would come at is, according to the one who says you shouldn't use anyway such an esrog of truma, even though it's tar, because you're going to make it susceptible to truma, even if you don't go ahead and call this truma, but this entire esrog becomes susceptible to truma because it came in contact with water, even if it's the outer peel, and hence, it's still problematic because what the rest of it that is truma is going to become tummy, and that's a problem because he's supposed to safeguard that. However, according to the opinion that says, the reason why you shouldn't use this is because when you're holding the esrog, you're kvetching it, you're ruining the outer part of the esrog, that would only apply if the outer part was truma. And since the outer part here is not truma, so even though the rest of it is truma, since that's not getting ruined, such an esrog would be kosher. According to that opinion that holds, the reason why you shouldn't use it is because of ruining it. Now the Mishnah continued in this halacha and said, so although he said you shouldn't use it, again, either because it's going to get ruined or because it could become tummy that way, but if one did use such an esrog, he has fulfilled this chiyuv of taking the dal minim on the yom tov of Sukkot. Now the Gemara explains the reason for this. Lamanda amar, according to the one that explained when we say that even after the fact it's going to be invalid, for example, in the case when we spoke about an arla, we said two explanations why arla, such an esrog, is not going to be kosher for an esrog. One pshat said because you're not permitted to eat arla. Now, however, in such a case of truma tahira, hare yesh bo heter achila, one is permitted to eat truma that's tahar, which obviously is in the case of the kayin. Now, as Rashi explains, that even the Yisrael also, he could fulfill his chiv with such an esrog if he purchased it from a kayin. Obviously, the kayin is the one who has it because you give the truma to the kayin. However, not because you could redeem it. As Rashi says, whoever says that you could deconsecrate truma and give it to a Yisrael to eat is a wicked person. It's just that since it could be eaten, therefore, even the Yisrael who purchased it from it, it would still be valid and considered something that's permitted to be eaten, and it's considered lachem, and that's why one could fulfill his chiyuv after the fact with such an esrog that's truma tahira. And lamanda amal fisha imba din mamon, according to the one who said, not only is arla a problem because you can't eat it, because you also need additionally have that you have some monetary investment in it that's somewhat yours, hariyesh ba din mamon, truma is something that you have value that you own, you have property ownership over the object of truma. And therefore a kohen could go ahead and he could marry a woman with truma. Now, even a Yisrael, if a kohen gives him the truma, he also could be mekadesh a woman with that, and he could sell it to kahanim, and therefore he has value with it. He can use it, and therefore we would consider din mamon for everyone, for every Jew, and therefore every Jew could fulfill their chiyuv with truma tahira. So again, although initially we don't want it because it could get ruined or it could become tummy, but after the fact, it will be valid because it is considered lechem, because there is a heter achila, and it has a din mamon. Now the Mishnah said, v'shal demai, regarding the case of demai, which is produce, which in this case is the esrog that was purchased from an ama aretz, an ignorant person in halacha. Now generally we say that their produce is a suffix, it's doubt, that we think that maybe they didn't take off the proper maestros, the tithes. So we had a machloikis in the Mishnah, if one could fulfill the chiyuv of demai or not. So the Gemara asks, my time at Basil, what is the reason of Basil's opinion? Now, that they said that one could fulfill the chiyuv with demai, but one is not permitted to eat demai, and therefore it's not considered lochem, as we said that everyone holds you have to be able to eat it. So the Gemara answers, kivin debay mafka lohu l'nichse, since if the owner of this esrog, whoever he may be, if he wants to, he could say that all my properties are ownerless. Then he's going to be considered a pauper, and then actually he's allowed to eat this produce of demai. Now the reason is because generally, the majority of Amaratzim, they really do take off tithes. it's only what's called a churma ba'amor. It was a stringency that the Chum instituted, that they said that we're going to give it a doubtful status of tevel, that maybe the produce was not tithed. Now, however, regarding poor people and achsanya, people that are in the soldiers of the army, which they have no food to go by, the Chacham did not institute that they be included in this churma ba'amor. And therefore, this person, since he could be a poor person, we considered for him also lechem, because essentially, if he wants, he could eat it by declaring all his property ownerless, and then he's an ani, and then he could eat it. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Demai that says machil es anim demai, that we can give poor people to eat demai even without taking off these maestros that the chum required for everyone else. Vesachsanya, similarly regarding the soldiers of the king's army, who their food is incumbent upon the people to feed them. Also, one could give them demai, again, for the same reason that they didn't require that chiyuv, since most of them really do take off on people that don't have enough food, and that's why, again, it's considered lechem for everybody. Now, however, Ube Shammai, who they said in our Mishnah, one could not fulfill his chiyuv with demai, such an asterisk, because on the loyachol demai, they hold that actually a poor person cannot eat demai, so there's no way for anybody to be able to have lechem on demai, because no one could eat it. It's not like you learned over there in that Mishnah that says Mechil Hanim Demai Vesach Sanoim Demai. That opinion that's mentioned in that Mishnah said that you can give poor people and the Achsanoim Demai. But V'am Ravuna, Ravuna said Tana. However, we learned in the Brisa the Beishamim Ain Mechil Nesanim Vesach Sanoim Demai. That Beishamim argue and they say we cannot give demai to the poor people and the soldiers. However, they still argue, as we mentioned before, they hold, as is mentioned there in that Mishnah, that we could give them, and that's the reason for their machlokes in our Mishnah, if one could go ahead and use an esrog of demai, if it would be considered lechem or not. Now the Mishnah said, Shel Meiser Sheni Sheb Yerushalayim, that regarding Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which is something that's permitted to be eaten. However, we said that lo yitol, one should not go ahead and use that as an esrog l'ketchila for the mitzvah of dalminim. So the Gemara explains. Laman da'amar, according to the one who said regarding truma tahira, why over there did we say one should not initially use such an esrog b'mnei shemachshira, because you're going to make it susceptible to tuma, because it's going to come in contact with water over the sukkahs to keep it moist. Here also you have the same problem, hari machshira. Here also the ma'aser sheni, it's something that it's going to come in contact with water. And as Rashi explains, Ma'aser Sheni also needs safeguarding because it's also called Kodesh, as the Pasuk says in Mikachav Zayin. And since it's considered Kodesh, it requires Mishmeres, therefore we don't want to initially let you use Ma'aser Sheni as an Esrog. Lamandam Nishmav, see, according to the other pin that says the reason why we don't want you to use an Esrog that's Truma Tahira is because when you're going to be holding it, you're going to be ruining the outer peel, and that's not considered safeguarding the Truma. See, the hero says the same thing. Ma'aser Sheni, by holding it throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkahs, you're going to be ruining it, and therefore it's the same two reasons why we don't want you initially to be using the esrog of Ma'aser Sheni, even Yerushalayim. Now, the Mishnah did tell us, as it did regarding Truma Tahira, Vim Notl Kasher. However, if one did go ahead and use such an esrog, it's kasher and he has fulfilled his chiyah. So the Gemara again explains, Lamandamar, according to the opinion that mentioned regarding Arlo, why over there, even after the fact, it's not going to be considered lechem, it's not a kosher esrog when it's the first 3 years of a fruit tree. Mimnei she'ein bo heter achila, where they said that the reason is because you're not allowed to eat the Arlo. Now, however, if it would have been permitted to eat, then it would be kosher according to that opinion, even if you don't have any monetary ownership in that esrog. Now, regarding Ma'aser Sheni, you are allowed to eat that in Yerushalayim, and therefore our Mishnah that says that after the fact it's going to be kosher is Dibri HaKol, must be going according to everybody, even according to a mayor, who he said, as we quoted on Amud Aleph, that Ma'aser Sheni is considered Mamon Gevoyah, it's like Hashem's money. You could still say that our Mishnah is like him, because according to this opinion, you don't need to have any monetary ownership in the object, in the esrog, and still, since you could eat it, it's considered Lachem, so even Ramey would agree. However, Lamanda Amar, according to the one who said regarding our law, the reason why you can't use it as an esrog is lafisha imba din mamon, because you don't have a monetary ownership in it. Now, even if you would be permitted to eat it, still that opinion holds that it still be possible, because you don't have any monetary ownership in it for other pleasures that you want to get out of it. So, for example, that would be like a case of Ma'aser Sheni Yerushalayim according to a mayor. So, hamani, so who would our Mishnah be going like? Must be, would be going like Rabbanahi, who they say Ma'aser Sheni is considered mamon hedyot, it's money that's owned by the person himself, and not like Rameir, because obviously, according to Rameir, it would be possible, because he holds it's mamon gevaya, and that opinion holds that it has to be your own money. So, obviously, our Mishnah, according to that opinion, would not be going like Rameir. Now, our Mishnah then said that also chazazas, other invalidations in the esrog is if this if this boil type of thing was going on the majority of the esrig, such esrig is going to be possible. So the Gemara qualifies this halacha as similar to as was said regarding the halacha by the hadassim of anavim, when the grapes, these berry likes of the hadassim, are more than the leaves. So Rav Chizda said, "Davazer Rabbein Hagodlamer." This thing that I'm about to say, our great teacher said, and that was Rav, and Hamakim Yibezri Hashem should assist him. Loi Shana, we didn't say that it's going to be possible when the majority of the esrog is covered with these chazazes, Ela b'makom echad, only if they're in one place. So, although the majority, but they're concentrated in one place. But if they're dispersed throughout the esrog, even though it's the majority, but since it's not in one place, it's going to be kasher. So Amalei Rava said to Rav Chizda, similar as he said regarding the case by the Hadassim, Adrab, to the contrary. Bishnam Shleisha Mekaymais, Havale Kimenumer Apostle. If it's going to be in two or three places, that's spotted. That's really ugly because it's not for sure not going to be beauty, the Hadr, as the Esrog is supposed to be, because it's splotched. It's spotted because they're different colors and it's not going to be beautiful. If it's in one place, maybe, but in two or three different places, for sure it should be possible. So Eli Itmar, rather, if it's said, a Seifa Itmar. This statement was said on the Seifa, which said, Amiyute Kasher, if the Chazaz is only on the minority of the Esrog is going to be Kasher. And on that, Amar Rav Chizda said, Davazer Rabbein HaGadol Amar, this thing, our great teacher said, that's Rav, Bahamakim Yib Ezra, and Hashem should help him, that Leishon El Bahamakim Echad. When did we say if this Chazaz is only on a minority of the Esrog that's going to be Kasher, is only if it's in one place? Actually, Havali Kimanumer Apostle, if it's in two and three different places, even if it's the minority of the Esrog, it's still going to be possible because then it's like spotted, which is not going to be Hadr, and that's why it's going to be possible. Now, however, Amar Rava says, Vachaitmai, if this Chazazis, this fleck, this spot that's on the Esrog, is by the nose, which is by the top part of the Esrog, where it begins to slope towards the Pitim, if there's this chazazes, even just a little drop, nami puzzle, such an esrog is still going to be puzzle. Because that is visible, as long as it's something that's visible to the naked eye. Now, since that place is somewhere where people look at more than other places, because that's the place where it begins to slope and the eye zeroes in that spot. So although we're saying that it has to be the majority, or if it's in two, three different places, then even the minority, but not less than that. He says that if it's on the place where it begins to slope, where the eye sees that very well, there, even if it's just a mashu, even that would be considered a psul because it's not going to be hadr, and therefore such an esrog would be possible. Now, our Mishnah said, nitla pit masa, if the pitim is taken away, such an esrog is going to be possible. So, Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar learned in his version of the Mishnayos, he learned in place of nitla pitmasai, he learned nitla buchnasai, that if the pestle is taken away. Now the reason is, since the pitim, which is the part which is grows opposite of where it begins to grow from the bud, is a very pointy thing, which is like made in the shape of a pestle. So that's why he learned it as buchnasai. If that's taken off, such an esrog is going to be pestle. That's one interpretation Rashi brings from Meiri Hazak and Rabbeinu Yaakov. But in the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaLevi, he says that pitmasai, the pitim, which we had been interpreting as the top of the esrog, and the ukitz, which we had been interpreting as the bottom, which what grows from the bud where it begins to grow, this Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaLevi says they're actually both where it begins to grow. The difference is that what we're calling ukitz, which if that part of the wood, which is outside of the pit, the groove, which goes into the esrog, if the part that's out of it falls off, that's what he calls the ukitz, and that, as our Mishnah says, is going to be kasher. The pitim, he calls, is the part that falls off from the ukitz that's inside the concave of the esrog, where it goes into the groove in the esrog. And that, if that's missing, that's considered as if part of the esrog is missing, and therefore that would be pasul. Now, that's how he explains what Rabbi Yitzchak bar Elazar is explaining, that nitlu buchnasai refers to what goes inside the esrog. Now, why is he calling what we're calling the pitim as what's inside the tail, the bottom part of it that goes inside the esrog, as a pestle? Because a pestle goes inside and hits by the mortar. That's how he's viewing this, what's inside, as the pestle which hits in the mortar. Now, however, Rashi does say that he likes Rabbeinu Yaakov's pshat better, because we don't find anywhere that a pitim is in reference to the ukitz, which is on the bottom, and therefore he goes as the common interpretation is that the pitim is what we're calling here the pestle, is the top of the esrog, and not the ukitz, which is on the bottom, even the part that's within the groove. Now the Mishnah said, Niklaf, if the esrog is peeled, it's also possible. Now regarding this, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hay esroga de iglid. This esrog that's peeled, ke'ahina sumka, like a red date. Now, what that means is that here also, when you peel an esrog, it turns red, like all fruits, when they get peeled, they turn reddish. And that Rava says is going to be kshera. It's going to be kosher, such an esrog. Now the Gemara asks, well, not tanan, but we learned in our Mishnah, Niklav pasul. If the esrog is peeled, it's pasul. So how can he say when you peel it and it's like a red date, it's going to be kosher? Now the Gemara answers, like kosher is not difficult. We continue to tap of Vam and Aleph, ha bekula. This that Rava says is going to be kosher is if you peel the entire esrog. That's going to be kosher. Ha b'miktsasa. When our Mishnah says it's going to be pasul is when you only peel part of it. And that's similar to the other invalidation that we say it's not going to be hadr because that's what's called menumer, it's spotted. On one part you have this yellow esrog and then you have this peeled part which is red. That's not beautiful. That will be an invalidation of hadr. But if the entire thing is peeled, that's okay. That would be kosher because at least it has one uniform color and that's not going to be a problem, invalidation with achiv of hadr for an esrog.